John chapter 8, verse number 25, and we'll jump right into this here. John chapter 8, verse 25. Thank you, by the way, for your kind, encouraging words. Thank you for your hard work. This is the fastest we ever got the carnival set up and tore down since it's just been Loretta and I. And I'm telling you, if one person, there's 100 so grateful people that came by and said, thank you for all your work. I said, man, we never get tired of seeing them folks come forward to get them spiritual birth certificates and wearing those stickers. I never get tired of that. And what a blessing. And so thank you for your encouragement. And many of the visitors, many of them were just overwhelmed with what you did today and were grateful for it. And several of the families that we met when we was out visiting yesterday, they came. One family stopped us on the street. Brother Jonathan, is he here? Is he out smoking or something? Brother Jonathan, where you at? Oh, there he is back there. Glad you decided to come in. Hey, Brother Jonathan's out with us. And that one family stopped in the middle of the road, jumped out of their car, wanted to come over and pet Champ and get a picture taken. They came, and the daddy was saved, but the mama wasn't. Mama got saved. Their 7-year-old boy walked down the aisle, got saved. And there was like 3 or 4 other families that we met that came here today for the first time. And what a blessing. So, boy, there was people that responded during that invitation that didn't come forward. There was a few. And I caught some of them and was able to talk to them. And that was a blessing. So praise the Lord. Thank you for what you did today. John chapter 8, verse number 25. The Bible says, then they said they unto them, who art thou? Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of them. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Wow, what a testimony. Wouldn't that be something if that could be said about us? Wouldn't that be something if you youngins, if they could say that? Boy, I do always those things that my mom and daddy say. I always try to please my preacher, my God. That's a good thing. I always do those things that please him. Verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, dear Lord, for the souls saved today. And thank you for a church with a vision. And I pray that you would give them strength. And I pray, dear God, that you would bless and speak to hearts. And we ask this in your name. Amen. You all can be seated. I'd like to speak to you here just real quick on 3 brands of the believer. I've got my brand in iron, the brand of the cross. And whenever we're branding, and I enjoy that. That's a fun time whenever I get to get back home and we'll gather up the calves that have been born that year, and we'll split off the calves from the mama cows, and we'll rope them, and we'll drag the calves. And whenever we're having a branding, one person, you'll have a catch hand, and he's on the horse, and we'll rope the calf, and we'll drag him over to the fire, and they'll have the branding irons in there, and they'll be getting those red hot. And then we'll have a catch hand, or they'll have a mugger, and he's the guy that goes down the rope and grabs that calf and throws him down on the ground, and then he'll put his knee on his neck, because if they don't have their head, they can't do anything. In fact, if you notice, when I got Champ laying down, how we trained him to stay down is I just put pressure on his neck, and if I don't give him his neck, he can't get up. And so you do that to that calf. You put your weight on his neck to hold him down, and then another flanker will get down there, and he'll put his foot out and against one leg, and he'll grab the other, and he'll stretch him out. And then we got the brander. He'll come over, and that calf's not going nowhere. And he'll come over, and while he's getting ready to brand, well, the mugger will take that rope off the calf's neck, and the catch hand will go out and grab him another one, and they'll take that brand, they'll put it in a certain spot on the rump or on the shoulder, wherever their mark is registered, and they'll brand him. Now, why do they do that? They do that to identify that calf, who he belongs to, his mark. In fact, the Bible says there in Galatians 6:17, Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's identification marks where people know who you belong to. You know, I can't go anywhere. I'll have some kid that'll always say, Mama, there's a cowboy. Now, why do they say that? Because I identify with who and what I am. And we as born-again believers, people ought to know there's some distinguishing characteristics that folks ought to be able to see and say, man, they belong to the Lord. You can tell who they belong to by their brand and the marks that they bear. And there's three brands of the believer in the Scriptures. The first one there is in chapter 8, verse number 31. Did you see it there? He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. First brand of the believer is they have a deep love for the Word of God. They love the Bible. Man, we sing that song, I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible, God's wonderful word divine. Oh, yeah, we love songs about the Bible and scripture songs, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Hey, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. You make much of the Bible. God will make much of you. And notice, the Bible says there in verse number 32, he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, we're bound by that truth until we act on it. And people that love the Bible will let it have authority over their life. And boy, if the Bible says it, and that's what's preached and taught, well, I'm gonna live it, I'm gonna love it, I'm gonna learn it. This book, which we call the Bible, contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers, its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, its decisions are immutable. You ought to read it to be wise, believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. Why? It's got its decisions are immutable. Its histories are true. It contains light to direct you and food to support you and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored. Heaven is open and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design. The glory of God is its end. It ought to fill the memory and rule the heart and guide the feet. It's a mine of wealth. It's a paradise of glory. It's a river of pleasure. It's given in life. It'll be opened at the judgment. It'll be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibilities. It rewards the greatest labors. It condemns all who trifle with its conduct. Contents. It is the word of the living God, and it's indestructible, it's incorruptible, it's indispensable, it's infallible, it's inexhaustible. The subject of the Bible, it's purposed and planned by the Father, it's accomplished by the Son, it was revealed by the Spirit. The message, salvation by grace through faith. God thought it, Christ wrought it, the Holy Spirit brought it, the devil fought it, but I got it. Amen, right there. Thank God for the Bible. It's word. We ought to love it. We ought to read it. It is a mark of the believer. They got a love for the book. They love the word of God. And they like to hear it preached and taught. That's for sure. I'm reminded of the story of a person who just, they opened up the Bible. They just point to a verse. And whatever it said, they thought that's what they're supposed to do. Until one day, they flipped through the Bible, pointed to a verse, looked at it, and said, Judas went out and hanged himself. That's not very good. Closed it, spun through the pages again, opened it up, touched the verse, and it says, go and do thou likewise. He closed the Bible, opened up again, spun through the pages, said, I'll try this again, and it says, what thou doest, doest quickly. Well, now, that's not a good way to read your Bible, okay, and to do it like that. But, hey, you know what? We ought to enjoy living by the book. In fact, standards ought to be a delight and not a duty. As you read the Word of God and you see how you should live, things you should do, things you shouldn't do, oh man, it ought to be a joy for us to say, you know what? I'm going to live by this book and I'm going to do what it says and I'm going to let it have authority over my life. Look there in verse number 37. We see the problem. He says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. See, many have no room for Jesus. Have no room. Don't have time. Too busy. Backsliding starts when we lay down the word of God. We have no room. But I see another mark in the believer. If you go on a little bit further, look over in John chapter 13, if you would. John chapter 13, we see the second mark. The first one, he says, you continue in the word. You love the Bible. Second mark of the believer, the brand, is John chapter 13 and verse number 34. John chapter 13, hope I had it and I lost it. John chapter 13, verse 34. The Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. See that statement right there? He says, you continue in the book, you live by the book, people's going to know. And he says, how else are they going to know you're a believer? What's another brand? He said right there, that you love one another. For if you have love one towards another, that's the mark. That's the brand. See, this convinces the world that we're for real when we love the brethren. Amen. It's a divinely produced love in the heart of the believer. You have a heart for people. You love folks. And you love souls. That right there, that love for one another. You'll not love other Christians until you first love the Word of God. See? And if you love the Word of God, then you cannot help but love people. Amen? Boy, God help us to just be a blessing to other folks and fall in love with people. Look over in Romans chapter 13 right quick. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 8. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Boy, I tell you what, if we'd love each other like we ought to, wouldn't be any church splits. That's one of the brands of the believer, is they love people. They try to be a blessing. They try to make a difference. Huh? Man, I tell you what, I went to church here a while back, and the preacher found out we love Krispy Kreme donuts. That's what manna was. They come out of heaven was those Krispy Kreme donuts. The hot and now light was on. And we were in North Carolina, and brother Dan Patrick, he's this great guy. He's such a good friend. I like going to his church because he always buys us a whole dozen of hot and out donuts, and he'll bring them by. And I said, Brother Patrick, he says, well, they're one of your favorites, ain't they? And I says, you know what that made us feel? Was loved. We felt loved by that preacher because he knew what we liked, and he knew we just loved those. I'm glad we don't live by a Krispy Kreme donut place. I'd weigh 300 pounds. I'm telling you. And he'd go by and get those donuts and bring them by and give them to us. And you know what he was saying? He's saying, I love you. Wow. We all need to feel loved, don't we? That means a lot to somebody to know that you're loved, to know that somebody cares. Huh? That love for one another. By this, shall they know that you're my disciples. Is they will love each other. Man, if you love each other, we won't be running them down. Well, if we love each other, we wouldn't be critical, huh? We wouldn't be judgmental. Somebody's here, we'd be calling them up saying, hey, I missed you. I was just thinking about you. You know, when you love one another, you try to understand. Whenever they say something to hurt your feelings, you're not going to get mad at them. You're going to say, you know, they must not be feeling good today. Something's wrong. They're not. See, when something's broken, it ain't running right. And people that have the love of God in their heart for other people, they're understanding. They love people when they're not lovely, huh? They put up with folks, you know. Man, you got to put up with a lot of nonsense, you know. But thank God you got a preacher that loves you. Amen? Yeah, that's a mark. That's a brand. He says, you're going to know. The other day we was driving down the road. I share with you a quick answer to prayer that Dodge truck that's sitting out there, we prayed that in as an answer to prayer. We needed the truck. Joe was going back to the ranch. He's having health problems. Blood pressure is spiking. I said, son, you need to get some, see the doctors back home. We got some good doctors, see them. I said, we'll make do. And so, but I said, we got to have a truck, a vehicle to pull the trailers. I pull, you know, we went from three buses and three trailers and a truck to down to one bus, and I got all these trailers. So what are we going to do? So we condensed down from three to two, but I had the bus to pull one trailer, and then the other trailer, it was too heavy for my excursion I had. It just owned it, and it just wasn't safe driving down the road. And I said, we got to have a one-ton dually, and we need one quick. And so we was praying. We had 2 weeks before Joe was going to go back to the ranch, and I said, we got to have a truck. Well, this is not a good time to find vehicles, okay, to try to find a truck. And I'm like, Lord, if I don't get a truck, then I'm not going to be able to have that cowboy carnival to come with me that's such a tool as you saw today, okay? I said, it's a tool, and we need it to help get people saved. And so, Lord, we need, and so we were praying, God, you know where there's trucks, and if it's your will, and so we didn't have money, and that one bus broke down. It's been tied up for 3 months with insurance, and I was going to take the money out of that bus to buy the truck. So I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do? So we was praying, and I had a friend call me up and said, Kevin, what's going on? I says, well, we're needing a truck. He said, I heard that. Have you found one? I said, no, hadn't started looking because we don't have money to buy one. He said, well, find one, and when you find it, tell me how much it is, and I'll wire you the money, and then you can buy the truck, and then when you settle up with the insurance, just pay me back. No interest, just over the phone, wire me money for a truck. When's the last time you had a friend just call you up and say, hey, I'll wire you 50 grand, you know, just put it in your bank? I'm like, are you kidding me? So I said, Joe, I said, hey, we got the green light. Find a truck. 2 hours later, he said, Dad, he said, I found the truck. I said, are you kidding? He said, you're going to like this truck. Now, if we could order, get what we wanted, that truck that's out there is exactly the color I would pick. If I was going to order a truck, I'd pick that color. We was decided we were going to go with the Dodge. We wanted that Cummins motor. We wanted the mega cab that had extra room. I didn't want an 8-foot bed on the back. I wanted the shorter bed, 6'4". I said it needs to be a dually. I want it to be four-wheel drive. Everything I got's four-wheel drive. I got a four-wheel drive horse, four-wheel drive truck, four-wheel drive wife, everything. So I said, I want to be four-wheel drive. We get in some situations. I got to pull these trailers in fields and where we live. I said, it needs to be four-wheel drive. So I said, I got a four-wheel drive, and I had all these things. And that's everything that truck is. He said, Dad, he says, you ain't going to believe it. He says, it's the exact color. He says, it's one owner. It only got 61,000 miles on it. The guy just used it to pull his camper trailer around, and he said, it's got extra fuel tanks in the back for fuel. It's got an extra air ride system for pulling heavy trailers. He said, it's got the hitches. It's got everything. He said, it's got a double airbag system. He was going on. I said, Joe, are you kidding me? I said, that's unbelievable. And I was ready to fly to Texas, go wherever I needed. And he said, Kevin, he said, Daddy, it's 30 minutes away from your doctor's appointment. Now, we had just closed out a VBS for Brother John Vapersand in Metro Baptist in Detroit, Michigan. We had over 100 saved, had over 400 kids come. Unbelievable. What a blessing. The next day, we got to drive over to Indiana, see my heart doctor, get some tests run. And so I said, Joe, he said, Dad, it's 30 minutes away from your doctor appointment. Well, it could have been anywhere in the United States, but it just happened to be right there. So the next day, after we saw the doctor, we went over to go look at the truck. Now, Buddy had already wired the money in the account. We had money to pay for it. And on the way to go look at that truck, and the salesman on the phone, he was a Christian man. And he said, man, he says, like God held this truck here for you. He said, I'm telling you, you're going to buy this truck. He said, it just got on the lot. He said, in fact, it was just sitting here for a few hours whenever your son found it and you called and put the deposit on it. And he said, we hadn't even posted the pictures. And my son said, Dad, I found it by accident. Well, there's no accidents with God. And he just worked that thing out. And I'm telling you what, we was almost there to go look at it. And Loretta looks at her phone and screams. She does that a lot when we're driving down the road, screams, ah. She said, Kevin, She said, somebody just put thousands of dollars in our bank account. I said, are you serious? And I said, man, Brother Dave must have been playing the lottery again or something. Anyway, and I said, no, what? And she called out two businessmen that love us and that says they deposited money. I called them up. I said, hey, what's going on? They said, God told us to give you some money to buy a truck. Hey, it was paid for twice. I thought about buying two trucks. But anyway, I said, what a blessing. And God took care, and the money came in to be able to buy that truck. God provided the needs. And they said, we love you. We just want to invest in your ministry. Amen. Man, boy, we were just overwhelmed with gratitude. And to know that God did a work in those businessmen's heart and laid it on their heart to give to us. And because they loved us and believed in us, they enabled us to be able to carry. Otherwise, that carnival wouldn't be here. It'd be sitting over around Indianapolis somewhere. But thank the Lord for some people that love souls and some folks that have a heart for the things of God. And they love. And that's the mark of the believer. And I could tell you stories about everything out there that we have and how God has provided and made a way. Thank God for people that have a heart. Thank God for folks that love one another. Boy, you talk about feeling loved. Man, when somebody buys you a new truck, boy, you feel loved, amen. Oh, but you know what? The guy that gave me the Krispy Kreme donuts felt loved by him too. Huh? Thank God for those people. That's a mark. It's a brand of the believer that you love one another. The third mark here, and we'll be done because I'm hungry. That hot dog is gone, and I want to go get something to eat. But I want to give you the third mark of the believer. He said, by this, everybody's going to know that you're one of my disciples. It's one of the brands. Number one, you got a love for the Word of God. Number two, you love one another. Number three, look over in John. We'll go a little bit further. John chapter 15, if you would. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Look there, verse number 4, I think it is, John 15, 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without him ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they be burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. That's one of the brands of believer. They got fruit. I'm not supposed to judge, but I can be a fruit inspector. And one of those brands of the believer is you'll have fruit. Huh? Fruit. Fruit. Boy, God, I don't want to stand before the Lord empty-handed. Do you? And one of those marks of the believer, he's going to be bringing some people with him to heaven. He's going to be leaving his mark. He's going to be making a difference, okay? And you'll not love the lost until you first love your brothers and sisters. And you're not going to love them until you love the Word of God. And these are the marks of the believer. And I hope that you decide, you know what, I want to leave my mark. Bible says in James 2 that faith without works is dead. We got too many deadheads, ding-dongs, and ding-bats in churches. Dry, dusty. Oh, no. Hey, we need to be alive and well unto God. Leaving a mark. Other people know, man, they got something. Huh? They're trying to keep some people out of hell. They're making a difference. I went to church in Philadelphia. There's Yankees over there. Just seeing if you're awake. There's probably some Yankees here, no doubt. But anyway, just teasing you. But, you know, the folks from Philadelphia, a little different. City folks. But we had good meeting there. And I guess we were a novelty or something. But anyhow, we had good meeting. And everybody I was talking to was mentioned about Jamie Chow. And I said, who is this Jamie Chow everybody's talking about? They said, she's a little Korean girl. She's junior high, about 13, 14 year old, came over from Korea is an exchange student, and she's over there, and she ended up in their church and got saved. Well, man, when she got saved, she got a dose of the old-time religion, and she fell in love with Jesus, and boy, I tell you what, she was busy telling everybody about Jesus, and she started a Bible club all on her own. She called it the Jesus Bible Club, and she started inviting friends over to her house after church, or on Wednesday nights after school. And they'd come over, and she would have a program, and she would teach a lesson, and they would sing songs. And I mean, you just like, I can't believe this. 13-year-old Korean girl, barely speaking English, got the Jesus Bible Club, and they had a minivan. And the folks that was keeping her, they'd load up all these kids in the minivan, and they were bringing over 20 people in the minivan. Now, I don't know how many of you got a minivan, but, you know, 20 people in the minivan? It's like, and so one of the church members said, listen, that's dangerous. He said, he had a minivan too. He said, I'll tell you what, how about if I come by with my van and we'll spread out your load a little bit? I'll load up my van, you bring up yours. So she was bringing two loads of kids in every night from her Jesus Bible Club. And the preacher said, Brother Walker, he said, that little Korean girl has such a heart for souls. He said, she's best soul winner in my church. He said, all these kids, they come and they get saved. And she, if they don't get saved in her Bible club, she brings them to church and they get saved here. He said, it's hard to tell how many folks have come in and gotten saved in the family. And he said, she's bringing over 20. She was averaging close to 28 there. And I talked to him the other day. And I said, Brother Sharp, I said, is Jamie still there? And in fact, when we was there, she had two van loads full of kids. I got them all gathered around the van. I had to get a picture with her and had to talk about her. And I says, what a remarkable young lady with such a heart. She was bearing some fruit, barely knew English. And he said, Brother Walker, he said, she ain't here no more. He said, she had to go back to Korea. He said, it broke her heart to see her leave. Hey, if you all was to have to move away, would it break the folks around here, would it break their heart that you're gone? Or would they throw a party and say, yeah? I'd hope it'd break their heart. I hope they'd say, man, it ain't the same. Well, when Jamie had to leave, they couldn't believe it. They were so sad. And the preacher said, no, Brother Walker, he said it was the will of God. He said there's a bunch of folks in Korea that need to get saved. He said, God just sent one of his choice servants over there because she's going to get the job done. That 13-year-old girl went back home to her homeland in Korea where missionaries couldn't go. She's back there preaching the gospel, helping folks get saved because that's one of the brands of the believer. They'll have some fruit because they just cannot help but talk about Jesus. Amen. Oh, I hope that you have somebody to meet you in heaven and say thank you. Thank you for what you did for the big day. Thank you for being a part. I got that spiritual birth certificate that day. I got saved. I wore that sticker. You had a part in that. And thank you. Oh, they'll meet you in heaven and they'll thank you. That's one of the marks of the believer. He'll have some folks to meet him and say thank you. Thank you. I hope you'll have somebody to thank you personally because of some fruit. Oh, you'll be a blessing because that's one of the brands of the believer. May God help us to, we got some work now to do. All them folks that got saved, there's going to be a ripple effect because they know some folks and they have family members that aren't saved. And so we got to get on them while they're hot. And we got to get into their houses and we got to reach their moms and dads and brothers and sisters and get them to come back and get baptized. And we got to get after them, don't we? Oh, yeah. That's for sure. God help us to do it. You'll never regret. Thank God for the brands of the believer. Heavenly Father.